our approach to reading and studying and searching the Word of God. Our approach, again, is the preliminary steps that we take prior to opening the Word of God. But it's more than just the preliminary steps we take. And again, I do believe there are preliminary steps, but it is also the attitude and spirit that we must maintain while we're reading, while we're searching, while we're studying, while we're meditating upon the Word of God. Approach is very, very, very important. If we do not approach the Word of God correctly, it's a tremendous hindrance, a tremendous detriment to properly reading it, to properly searching it, to properly studying it. And if our reading and searching and studying is hindered, that in turn hinders meditation. If we do not read it correctly, we do not meditate upon it correctly. And if we do not read and meditate correctly, that leads to an improper application as well. So approach, an improper approach, blinds the eyes to observation. And again, we're going to, in the next month, spend a lot of time on observation. But an improper approach blinds the eyes to observation. It's amazing how many people read the Bible without observing what they're reading. This isn't a novel, again, that you can just read every two or three words, skip a few words here and there. It requires very precise observation, because the missing of one word can lead to a false interpretation, which leads to a false meditation, which leads to a false application, and on it goes. But I believe approach and observation are closely connected. If our approach is proper, the more proper our approach, the more able we are to observe. Precise observance leads to right interpretation. Again, we said last week, many people have a wrong idea about interpretation. Interpretation is not determining what a verse means. God's already determined that. You and I never determine what a verse means. The author, again, has already done that. Interpretation is discovering what it means. And that comes from a close observation. But it all begins with a proper approach. Proper approach leads to precise observation. Precise observation will lead to a discovery of what it means, or interpretation, which of course leads one to make a proper or a relevant application. So it's very important that we begin Bible reading, Bible study correctly. And that, of course, is our approach. And then it's very important that we maintain a proper attitude as we read the Word of God. We saw last week that we are to approach the Word of God with persuasion and conviction. That is, with absolute certainty and confidence and sureness that it is the Word of God. That we're not just saying, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. We all believe that in our theology. But we need a firm conviction and persuasion that affects our life, that this is the Word of God, that it is the Word of God. It would do good to, before you open the Word of God, just to think a while, just sit there and look at it, and think very seriously about what you are about to read, the Word of God. And we need to approach it with conviction and persuasion. Secondly, and if we are persuaded and convicted, absolutely certain and sure that this is the very Word of God, that it is God Himself speaking to us, that will lead us to the second thing, and that is we will approach the Word of God with a preparation of heart. That we will approach the Word of God with a preparation of heart. You see, right Bible reading and study takes time. You have to get ready for it. That takes some time. And you don't just read the Word of God to get ready for the day, though it does ready us for the day. But it would more ready us for the day if we readied ourselves, if we prepared ourselves to read it. So it requires a preparation of heart. Again, when Paul wrote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, he was absolutely certain of that fact. And in order to properly read, to properly search, to properly study, to properly meditate upon, and again, if we prepare our hearts, we will find ourselves meditating upon God's Word. And as we meditate upon God's Word, our heart is more prepared to apply it throughout the day. So there must be a proper preparation of heart. We have to prepare our heart. The goal, the idea of reading the Bible is not just to fill out a reading schedule. The idea of reading the Bible is to receive it. To receive it into our hearts. And if we are going to receive it into our hearts, it is the seed. And if we are going to receive it in our hearts, then the ground has to be prepared to receive the seed. Many times people read the Bible and the seed falls on fallow ground because the heart has not been prepared. So there has to be heart preparation. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. And this applies, of course, to so many things, but it certainly applies to the reading of God's Word. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Break up your fallow ground. Notice in the book of Hosea chapter 10, fallow ground, of course, is unplowed ground. It's hard ground, ground that is not ready to receive the seed. In Hosea chapter 10 in verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Why were they to break up their fallow ground? For it is time. And he goes on to say, it is time to seek the Lord. But hopefully we all have a habit of reading the Word of God. There's an approximate time in which we do so. And we need to break up the fallow ground, for it is time. It is time to read God's Word. It is time to search and study God's Word. And being time to do such, we need to break up the fallow ground. That requires work. It requires work. And such preparation, this breaking up the fallow ground, involves a lot of things. And they're time-consuming things. It involves prayer. And I know immediately people say, well, I don't have that much time. You'd be surprised how much time you can make when you really want to do something. But this preparation involves prayer. It involves personal examination, asking God to reveal our hearts to us. It involves confession. And I believe we do these things before we read the Bible. I believe we ought to do these things as we read the Bible. Sometimes you're reading along, and this is why reading schedules just don't work if you read it properly. You read along, and you just got to stop and pray a while. Or you're reading along, and you have to suddenly stop and examine your own heart. So you might not be able to read your 7 chapters a day. If you do it correctly. This preparation involves confession. Confession of sin. We're to do these things before we read, but as we're reading, do you not at times have to stop and say, oh, woe is me? You have to confess. So you may only get through a couple verses. You may not even get that far. And again, as we've said over and over and over, that's not the important thing. I've got to read X amount of chapters. Well, if you do that, you're going to rush through it. And you're not going to read it properly. So it requires confession. Confession, you don't confess just for the sake of confessing. Confession is for the purpose of repenting. Of turning. We're to do all of these things before we read. And then we're to, again, our approach is preliminary. Our approach is maintaining an attitude. And then we are to continue to do these things as we read. Though James is making reference to the hearing of what is written in the Bible. And notice in James 1, verse 21, he's referring to the hearing of the Word of God. But what he says here is a principle that applies also to reading it. In James 1 and verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. The goal is to receive it. How are we to receive it? We are to receive it as engrafted. That means there is a living union between the Word and ourselves. That means that we have been greatly affected by what we have read. Again, I I don't believe that one should stop reading until they are affected, personally. That may be one or two words. That may be 15 chapters. But you read until God speaks. That's the goal, is for God to speak to us and for us to be affected. So the heart must be brought into a condition to receive the Word of God. To receive is more than taking it in. To receive speaks of the attitude of welcoming. You receive someone into your house. You don't simply take them in, you welcome them. We are to welcome the Word of God into our hearts, and that requires preparation, both preliminary and maintaining. So for the heart to be prepared, what does it mean? How do we know that our heart is prepared? How do we know when it is prepared? When it is brought into a right relationship with God, it is prepared. So we're never perfectly prepared because we're never in a perfect relationship. But when our heart is brought into a right relationship with God, what does that mean? That means that it is tender. That means that it's pliable. That means that it can feel. Again, Ezekiel talks about the heart of stone, the heart of flesh. Big difference between stone and flesh. You can kick stone all day long, it won't feel a thing. An unprepared heart can read the Bible, and unless God miraculously intervenes, they will never feel a thing. Now, God can break the stony heart as one's reading the Bible. But a fleshly heart feels. And God's Word is a two-edged sword. And God's Word pricks the heart. And a prepared heart is able to feel that. So the deeper and stronger the conviction that the Bible is the Word of God, the more prone we will be to prepare our heart to receive it. So the reading, the searching, the studying, the meditating upon the Word of God should be with persuasion and conviction. It should be with preparation of heart. It leads us to the third thing, and this probably could have been the second thing, but it very well fits as the third as well. We must approach the Word of God with a spirit of reverence and awe. Now, that is definitely connected with the first thing. That is conviction and persuasion that it is the Word of God. The more convicted we are that this is the Word of God, the more reverence we have for it. The more convicted we are that it is the Word of God, the more prone we are to prepare our hearts. And the more our hearts are prepared, the more we reverence God's Word, the more we stand in awe of God's Word. So as a result of persuasion and conviction that the Bible is the Word of God, the individual realizes that I can't approach the Bible as I would any other book. Approaching this book requires a preparation of heart. And this persuasion and conviction and preparation produces a spirit of reverence, produces a spirit of awe. Again, sometime just put a Bible on your desk. You can open it or not, either way. And just sit there and think about what you're looking at. Just sit there and think about what God has given you. His Word. That ought to create reverence. That ought to create awe for His Word. And where there is reverence and awe, there is a great carefulness. A lot of people are very careless when it comes to reading or what they call interpreting the Bible. They're very careless because they don't observe. They are oblivious to a lot of things, a lot of words. And I believe one of the reasons for that is a lack of awe, a lack of reverence for God's Word. See, we ought to reverence it so highly that we think this is so important. What I'm reading is so important, I cannot miss a single word. Not a single word. I've got to look at every single word. Notice in Psalm 119, verse 161, the psalmist said, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." That's how we ought to approach the Word of God. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, it says, "For all those things which mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." And then notice, "But to this man will I look." To this man will I have respect. To this man will I regard, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. That's not us naturally. That requires preparation. "And trembleth at my word." And trembleth at my word. Trembling in fear. Fear that we might misinterpret. Fear that we might misrepresent. God says, "I will look to this individual who trembles at my word." Who is it that trembles at God's word? The poor and contrite in spirit. So we are to approach the Word of God with fear and trembling. This speaks of the fact that we are to approach it with great wonder, that we are to marvel at God's Word, that we ought to stand amazed at the Word of God. I can't think of any book written by man that I've ever read that just filled me with wonder and marvel and amazement. And if the books of men do that, we've got another problem. But the Word of God fills us with great wonder, great amazement. In Psalm 119, again, Psalm 119 and verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." Word of God is a wonder. It's a wonder because of its author. It's a wonder because of its character, which takes on the character of its author. It's a wonder because of its content. You can read it every single day. You can read it several hours every single day. You can spend your whole life reading it, and you'll never exhaust its content. You can memorize the whole book, and you'll never come close to exhausting its content. You can read a passage, let's say of 4 or 5 verses today, and you can read it very slowly, and you can observe it very precisely. You can pick it up tomorrow, read the same passage, and you'll notice something else. And you could do this every day for a week in the same passage. And I'm talking about being precise, and you'll still note, and God will show you something else. You can't, it's a wonder because of its content. It's a wonder because of its purpose. No book on earth has a greater purpose than the Word of God. It's a wonder because of the effect that it has upon lives. So this reverence and awe ought to fill the heart in the preliminary steps, and then really it ought to increase. As we read through the Word of God, it ought to increase. And again, sometimes you just have to stop in amazement and just take it in for a while, what you've just read. We are to approach it with reverence and awe. So 3 things so far. We're to approach it with persuasion and conviction. We are to approach it with preparation of heart. And we are to approach it with a spirit of reverence and awe. And we'll continue next week. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, there's not enough words to express the gratitude of your word, that you've given us your word, that we have access to it. Lord, that you've given us eyes to see and opportunities to read and search and study your word. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray that you would help us to read it, to search it, to study it. Lord, that you would give us the right spirit toward your word. We do pray as we worship you today that you would receive our worship through Jesus Christ, that it would be acceptable to you, that it would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we do thank you that you give us the privilege to worship you. We pray that you'd help us in that regards today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.